I don't know how, but I somehow missed uploading the last episode I did with Sam Lins. Sam Lins part two. So I'm so sorry, everybody. Without further ado, Sam Lins. Welcome back to another episode of Hobby Time in the Murder Basement, where today I get to sit down for the second time with your friend and mine, Sam Lins. I stinking love Sam Lins, and I'm thrilled to have been able to have the chance to talk with him twice. We have a great talk, get you all caught up to speed on what his life has been like the last year. Stick around, we have a great chat. Wish YouTube, I wish YouTube didn't affect my emotions so much, because literally the podcast version of the show does great, but I never hear from any of those people. They just like every week show up and listen to it. It's fine. The podcast on YouTube is so erratic, and I'm just like, why aren't you here? And you try not to let the stats fuck you up, but they do, like, the entire time. They just break your soul. And I've been trying not to spiral, but I'm like, I'm doing a really shitty job right now. I'm just going to be honest.
Me too.
Are you?
No, me too. Let's talk about it. Like, I was off to a great start. I got like 10,000 subscribers in the first month. I put up a video. It got like 20,000 views. So I got like a couple good ones, and now nobody cares. They're just like, oh, these tutorials will be here. So I think nobody, there's no like, rush. It's like, well, if I paint that, then this will be useful. My videos get like 2,000 or 3,000 views, shitloads of like comments, and I've pretty much just given, like, stopped caring about it. I'm like, all right, like, things get old on Patreon, I put them up on YouTube for free.
Yeah,
it's really hard to care about. I'm always like about to just stop putting shit on YouTube because it's not making any difference. It's like, I'm wondering if I keep this on Patreon, will I get better Patreon numbers? It doesn't seem to have had an effect when I started putting things onto YouTube as well, because it's like old.
Yeah.
But I'm about ready to give up on YouTube as well. But then there's always the, well, wasn't doing anything else anyways.
Right.
just basically throwing it into like a library where no one's going to look.
Well, right now, this is what bands call the void, where you're just making content for the void.
Yeah.
And while that's totally, it's not true, because you have people that like are there every video and are excited for you to do it. And, you know, we'll be, you know, keep it as like part of their repository and learning. It doesn't feel good. Like, it just doesn't. Like, there's no way to separate yourself from it, and I don't know how to do it. Like, I've been doing this my entire life to no one, and now that I have people there, and I do, like, there's that drug that it's not enough. It makes you fucking crazy, and it shouldn't be. And you should be able to like embrace the people that are there every week and be so happy that they're there, but also you're like, Why aren't you watching it here? Like, just leave it playing in the background or something. Do something.
Give me those background plays. Yeah.
Just go to sleep it to is, me. It's all right. I just need the click-throughs.
It is weird. And I know, like, you come from the world of, like, underground music. So you've been to shows where there's, like, let's say 20 people, and that's, like, a decent turnout. You put something on YouTube and 500 people watch it. You've just reached more people than you ever did with... on the entire tour that you went on with your, like, you know, tin pail and broomstick noise project. But so that's the one kind of like refreshing thing. And then also there are the people that are there consistently, and the ones that really care, the diehards and stuff. So you do it for them as well.
Right. Well, and you know, and not to like get things even worse, you know where I've had the most luck recently? TikTok.
TikTok.
Yeah.
TikTok. I have only ever seen like clips from TikTok, which says something, I guess, where it's like, hey, your Instagram feed is a TikTok video today.
Right. Right.
Like, huh? Or, you know, just one little clip. Putting hobby content on TikTok, huh? I think that's a good thing. Spread the good word.
I started doing Gundam stuff on there because I was like, mini painting stuff isn't doing it. You know, like showing off photos and like playing it to like Venom Black Metal. Like, I thought that would be like a really like cool thing to do, and Motorhead and shit. No, people didn't care about that. But like, people like seeing little tiny toys doing like shit like this, and like all of a sudden like
you're making them dance.
Yeah, you get TikTok a little robot head and you get 500 views and you're like, that is more than my last three interviews.
Oh man, yeah, it's crazy. It's like, the more I cut myself out of the content I make, the better it does. Man, I should just wear a mask. Maybe my YouTube would do better if I was wearing a mask.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like, it worked for Slipknot, so fuck it.
The masked painter.
Let's do it. I mean, they now have the masked singer, like, reality TV show where, like, they don't even want you to know who the person is.
People love masks.
One of the funniest things that happened is, so I don't know if you've been paying attention to The Sauce on Instagram or on Twitch or not. Him and I have been trying to figure out how to break the content creation meta. Like, what is the thing that you can push this, and like, how can you change people's perceptions of this? And he found this young streamer from Ireland. Her name is Let's Make It Orky. She just raised like something like $7,000 the other day on like a charity stream, which is like amazing. She's doing some crazy things. And I guess they were talking and she was like, TikTok is where I'm getting all my people from right now. And he was like, why is it TikTok? And she's like, I don't know. I just did this like thirst trap thing, and all of a sudden, like, I had 100 people in my Twitch stream the next day. And you go back to look at literally the thirst trap, you know, you'd expect it to be like boobs or like doing something like really risque and sexy.
Yeah, thirst trap. Okay. I was like, can you define that? I think I know what that means.
Thirst trap. That's
in regards to like hobby content, I was like, not so sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I don't know what a hobby thirst trap would be, except for like, you know, a brand new bottle of paint that you're just opening up and it's just like so beautiful and untainted. You know, I don't know, like that first time you pull the needle, you know, you pull a point with your new paintbrush or some shit. I don't know. But she just like,
I was thinking like, yeah, like a space marine in shorts.
Well, we should totally talk about like himbo space marines. Like, we need way more of that.
Yeah, but like her gene seed is that they have big booties.
They have big booties. That's yeah,
their genetic difference. Their Primarch had a big thirsty ass.
Yeah, it's just thick AF. Like, that's all. Like, instead of like a nameplate, it just.
I'd play that chapter.
So Orky's thirst trap was literally her in like a sweatshirt, and then she like bounced and like she had makeup on and her hair was cute, and she like was like made it, didn't, it wasn't even risque at all, and it had like 16,000 hits, and so, I'm just like, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing that she didn't have to do anything really weird, and it has exploded her Twitch. And I'm like, this is breaking my brain for hobby content, because I've never thought about, you know, we're always like, let's be the best painter, or let's be really funny and make, you know, noises like this, you know, like whatever we can do. Let's get crazy.
I love those.
She just like, she's like, I'm really funny, I'm a funny painter, and I'm very entertaining on stream. I'm gonna catch your attention with this 30-second video. And I mean, She's I think the future of hobby content in the Twitch space. It's breaking my brain seeing it happen, because it's so organic and not forced at all. It's very cool.
So if I wear makeup and bounce, I can get more traction on my YouTube.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, just come in, just do some headbangs and flex the guns in like a black and white. Yeah. Like, I think that would work.
That's amazing. Whatever. Go to Walmart. Go to google.com.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm, and it goes so much to say that, like, I've been thinking about, like, ways to change the stigma of, like, women in the hobby. And, you know, God, it just seems like there's this edgelord troll thing that isn't disappearing and is mad at women who show their face or use their attractiveness to, like, get links. I'm like, why aren't guys doing that? Like, let's do it. Like, fuck yeah. Let's do a himbo of miniature painting calendar for, like, charity. And we'll all just, like, take, like, really tasteful, like, boudoir photos and, like, get the, yeah, like, PG-13 level, and we'll take them to, like, you know, game stores, and they can sell them at their counter, and it'll all go to, you know, painting, like supporting legless dogs or something, you know. We'll find, yeah, a really good hobby to a cause to fund or something. I think we should do it.
Excuse me, sir. I'm not one to judge too much, but I do have to question a bit that you handed a picture of yourself dressed as Rambo to my son at the game store. I like Rambo. Okay, he's cool. He's tough, a lot of muscle. Yeah, I get it. All the people that are complaining are also, like, you know, their attention is going in that direction. They're clicking. They're following.
Yeah.
I don't care, man. Like, cowards. Just
cowards is
the best. Understand. I understand it's a problem for some people. I'm lucky to come from, at least in my circles, where that hasn't been a problem, but I'm aware that it is. It's weird to understand. I always, like, growing up, like, playing nerd games and stuff, being, like, a teenage kid, like, I would have loved to combine, like, hanging out with girls with gaming.
Right?
Not that you're, like, walking into a date or I'm, like, treading on such weird water, but, like, it always seemed cooler for a lot of reasons to have everyone involved. I don't know.
Right? I had this one friend growing up. Her name's Allie. We're still in touch to this day, like, from sixth grade. Still hang out and talk online. Super sweet woman. She played Magic the Gathering with me and kicked the shit out of me all the time because, like, I didn't know how to make a deck. I was like, I like these things and I'm going to play them. You know, it's all dumb. But it was so nice that it was never a thing. You know, she was like, you guys are doing cool things. I want to hang out with cool people. And I'm like, this is the way it should be. This is the way.
Like, being a nerd, a better way to say what I was trying to say, being, like, nerdy can be kind of lonely for people. So wouldn't you want to be less alone in the, yeah.
I
don't get it. I have to, like, walk past, like, this weird red flag to, like, take part in this conversation. Or I'm just like, why does this matter?
Dude, it's very bizarre.
I don't get it.
The politics that are happening here, and, like, I hate using that term because it's not politics of when you're talking about women taking abuse from other hobbyists because they want to be a part. That isn't politics. That's fucking just hateful bullshit. But, like,
yeah, I love what qualifies as, like, a political statement these days.
Right.
It's like, I just want to walk and yell boop wherever, and that's being political.
Well, like, but the weird thing is, like, especially where, like, when you're on that upward momentum, you want to keep as many people happy, and, like, there's that weird, you don't want to exclude anybody either, you know, like, you just are trying to be, like, the good guy in the conversation, and I fucking lost it the other day. I can't be the good guy with these people anymore. And I'm just like, no, I fucking see you. I fucking see you, you cowards. Like, come on out.
Come on. I saw that. Yeah.
I just can't do it anymore. I can't be quiet. So,
right, dude, I'm just going to take a knife and carve the Punisher logo on my face. And finally, just, I'm going to get your channel kicked off of YouTube. Go out with a bang, though.
Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
Well, so let's go back. A year ago, yeah, we talked aliens, we talked life, we talked love, we talked mini painting, and and a really happened a really hard shift. Like you had your entire rug kind of swept out from underneath you, and you know, we're starting the Patreon, starting doing hobby videos. It was like literally like that's when we talked. I don't even think the Patreon was live yet.
Yeah.
And you know, live stream was probably still your biggest pull. Since then, you have had a forced move. the live stream isn't happening right now, which is always a real bummer. To not have you in my life in like a weekly basis like that, yeah. Dude. Because like you were easily one of the best streamers out there, and you've now pushed this like Patreon, YouTube, hobby tutorial content in a way that seemed remarkably effortless. Like you just kind of fell into the rhythm of it, and so kudos to you for doing that and having the like the drive and not get beat the fuck down, because you know I think I would have collapsed. And I watched what you did, and I'm like, fuck, it's amazing.
It was a swim or die kind of moment. Like, yeah. So like you said, 2020 was hard. I had to stop and pivot, you know, three or four times and rethink what I was doing, because yeah, I got surprised. I got kicked out of my house by, who I thought was a good friend. It was just weird. It like happened so randomly. So I was like, all right, I'll find a new place to live. So I found this like farm out in the country, moved out here. And I realized that the internet's, I can't even get a high enough internet signal to stream from here. If my service provider is even able to give me that like level of power, it was, goddamn, I'm like losing track of my, it's been a long ass day, but, the internet was very expensive, and to get the super high upload rate, I would have to pay like $400. But because of COVID, so many people are using the internet service, it's like overloaded. I can't even be ripped off. They can't even offer me the scam. Like, so I had to stop streaming on Twitch. When my Patreon's like 4 or 5 months old at that point. So I'm like, God, I hope this continues to trend upwards. Like it has, thankfully, but like Twitch was, I could cover my rent with that. And I lost that by moving into a new place. And I'm living in like a 5-bedroom farmhouse, because I don't know, it's awesome. but it's more expensive than my last place. It's like twice the amount of rent. And so to like take that hit and lose Twitch, the income from Twitch streaming. Yeah, dude, I was super stressed out.
Sure.
And then all this other weird stuff comes along with living at this farm. Like there's an old man who lives in the shed. When I moved in here, they were like, yeah, that's grandpa. He stays here sometimes and he keeps to himself. He was here for 6 months straight, like all of summer. And he left like January 3rd or something.
Well, didn't you say he would just like wander through your room? Like, who the fuck is this old guy? What the fuck?
He like stores things in the basement for like maintenance. And then he's working on the front porch, which I thought they were going to finish that. Like, oh yeah, they're gonna work on it one time. I'm moving in, you know, some little crossover. No, they've worked on it like two more times and still not done. They're just like tinkering around and doing cement work on the side of the house when it's dark out, you know, just normal stuff you do in a place with no street lamps.
Right.
And luckily he's cool. I'll go out and help him and stuff, but it's not like I saw him go and like take stuff out of my garbage one day. Like after I had taken it to the curb, he went and took some like big box, because he's a hoarder. He's got all this like.
It's like that pizza box had good cheese on it, man.
I'm like, what the I just want to have a normal life. Why do I have to, like? And then, yeah, there's like farmers come. It's an active farm, you know, so they're going to do the fields and stuff. That's cool. But I didn't know there's like people coming to visit this old man every single night.
Oh my
God. His electricity is connected to my house. And I'm like, well, I don't want to move out because I just moved somewhere. And
yeah,
everything else is stressful. So, yeah, what a fun time. And through all that, I just kept making videos somehow. You just have to, like, if I stop, I, you know, then I'm like super screwed. I'm trying not to swear a lot. That's what all these breaks in my speech are.
Just let it go. There's this funny thing that happens on YouTube where if you swear after 30 seconds, they don't care. Like, it's all like the whole thing. Yeah, they're like, oh, I can't talk bad because then like I won't get ads. No, it's like because YouTube knows that people don't make it past like 3 minutes of these videos. They literally just don't care. So don't censor yourself. just flow the way you got to, man. Just flow.
All right. Because I know some people like to keep it PG, but that is fun when you start a YouTube channel and you can see the analytics and you see the click-through rate. So you know how much of a video people are watching generally. And then they ask questions that are answered in the video. Like, well, you could watch that.
Did you get to minute 14? Because you missed it if you
didn't.
Yeah.
It's all in there. Or I did say this was beginner's material. But yeah, anyways, I could just never get a normal hand dealt in life. But
yeah,
whatever. Overall, things are good. You just roll with it.
Sure.
Adapt and survive. Luckily, I get along with Rob, the old man. All these farmers showing up at any possible time. 3 a.m., 6 a.m., 2 p.m., whatever.
It's just there.
People walking down the driveway with a gun, just going to hunt, whatever. Dude, I'm so paranoid every time I hear a noise now because it's been winter, so he's been gone. And I'm just waiting to like come back home and see that little red truck one day. But yeah, every sound I hear, I'm like looking to see if someone's invading my sanctum.
Is Grandpa back?
Yeah.
Well, if I remember correctly, you've got a couple swords and things. So, and you know,
yeah,
you got these guys, which is pretty good.
Yeah, dude. Do a lot of weaponry laying around the house, a lot of medieval stuff, real stuff, and then just trying to increase my bodily mass on a daily basis. You know, just get huge, leave a double wide coffin, grow throughout your life cycle like a reptile would do.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, all the pain and problems considered, I can happily say that I am like more successful and stronger and like stable than I've ever been in my life. So the path is going somewhere good. Just stay on the path.
This thing exists, your Sam Lin's weapon rack, which
weapon rack.
I love dude, to the max. It's like I was like, how I there are certain like milestones that I didn't know needed to happen in miniature painting, and like eeny meenies getting the Titan Bee was like my first like, oh shit, that's something that can happen. KDM can like send this to somebody, like that's fucking cool. And then I think really the next one was like your face, your beautiful face and name on a package from like one of my favorite hobby companies. I'm like, sponsor, like this is so fucking cool. How did this happen? Like who approached who on that one? Like did you and were you and Jason just bullshitting one night and you're like, I got an idea?
Oh, that was me. I approached him and I was part of the Monumentals program. But yeah, I'd always wanted to put together a brush set that had like synthetic and natural hairs because that's what I use. And I've been using those brushes for like a year before we made that pack. So I knew for sure that like, yes, I believe in these. I've turned down more sponsorships than I've accepted because sure, I won't put things out that I don't believe in. With that said, I'm happy to announce a student of mine has a laser cutter and he made me a little guillotine brush rack. I just got this yesterday and put it together. And whatever, he wants to start like a little side business selling these and, you know, laser cut engravings and stuff. I'm like, sweet, dude, let's make that and see if I'm going to see what like the people on the Discord for my Patreon, see who's interested in stuff. Because like that, the weapon rack, it blew up like a lot. It sold out twice and is now sold out again, but because he's changing suppliers.
Sure.
But yeah, he could have like 100 orders for these guillotines in one day or something. So we're going to test the water. But that, yeah, that's just fun. But it was like a cool milestone to have a set of brushes. And then I got Roman Lepat's miniature art book. I was like, man, I want to do that. I'm just going to keep copying Roman for the rest of my life. I'm glad he's older than me and keeps doing awesome things. I can just chase his. But yeah, having a book, I've always wanted to have like a collection of painted pieces and stuff and a cool coffee table book.
For sure.
And I'm just going to keep speaking my wishes into the world because that's how chaos magic works. By the end of the year, and I want people to believe in what I do, I'd like to have my own miniature available as well.
Nice.
I have a friend who does Dark Gods 3D out of Australia. Does 3D printing, and I think he has a Patreon for his own STL files. And yeah, I'm going to team up with him to sculpt up something cool, something that I would like to take, you know, for like a kind of a teaching canvas to a weekend class when, you know, things open back up.
So your Space Marine,
nice learning model,
Daisy Dukes.
That's, have all that's, the steps. What's that?
Your Space Marine wearing Daisy Dukes. He's going to do that for you.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Hey, it's the one thing they haven't done yet. Space Marines in shorts. Come on. Hear me out, you guys. Less clothes. We've put Space Marines inside of big suits, inside of big suit, inside of another suit.
Yep.
Always with a little head sticking out. How about some shorts? Maybe no sleeves.
Yeah. Just shoulder pads. Like, yeah. It's
on Space like, Marine in a bikini.
I love it. So, I mean, like, I think that this idea of like branching outside of just YouTube content, just like your typical, you know, like weekly video routine, is truly the future. Well, I think that it's great to do, and getting you to some place where you're doing some sort of live thing, even if it's like, you know, like this. I mean, if you could do like a weekly hangout with Sam Linz, and maybe it won't be to the quality that you once had, doing, you know, the Twitch stuff, as like it's hard for your internet to keep up. I think it would be really great to, you know, have that interaction with the audience. And that's something that, you know, I learned from Scott when he started doing live streams, weekly live streams. It was interesting seeing how different the audience was, and how it just proved to me that it was easily one of the most important things. And it didn't matter what he did. He could have sat there and did like armpit fart noises for like 4 hours, and people would have been like, oh, hell yeah, we're here. I think you've got the same sort of fandom and excitement around you. And I didn't understand Patreon until you, because you're the first Patreon that I have backed since it started. And I complain that my Patreon doesn't look at my content early. I'm exactly the same way with yours. I don't look at any of your content. I'm just happy that I'm giving you money in a meaningful way that's helping you.
I know, man. It's like when I put the tutorials on YouTube, people are like, I know it's there. I'll get to it when I get to it. Like, and, hey, thanks for the support, man. I appreciate it.
It's so cool, like, when I was watching you do, like, first I have to thank you on a bunch of different things. Like, I think this is the right place to do it. You talked to me super early on in the podcast when not a lot of people had, and you did it really candidly, and it was great, and it was fun. And then when I started streaming, you supported me there, And, you know, like, I don't think I would have been anything if it wouldn't have been for the just attention that you gave me. That it means a lot that you did it, especially since, you know, there could be the idea of like, why am I going to help him out? I should be doing things for me. Like, you were so community minded that it set me up to have like the exact same feelings. And it I just feel like I'm
Awesome.
constantly following you. Like, no, it's got to be for everyone. This has to be for everyone. And it doesn't mean
Yeah.
small or big. Like, the boat is big enough for all of us. Let's get everybody in here. But I didn't
And look how it's
realize.
grown with more people being just connected by just the presence of the internet. The boat has grown, the size of the crew on the boat. That's and that makes me really happy that like I had, you know, some kind of encouraging effect on you, man. That's cool. And I do hear you about content. Like, not everything has to be a tutorial.
Sure.
Speaking of YouTube, I think a lot of us creators go through this cycle of like, why don't people like my tutorials? Why are they looking at these other channels where it's just a list of things or someone opening a package or like a weird like stunt? But and you kind of dislike that, then you come around and realize that it's miniature-based entertainment. This is a channel, and what I'm making tutorials. That's a different lane. You have a channel that includes, you know, tutorials, funny skits, like just the look at the variety that like Scott, Midwinter, Squidmar, Brent, like a lot, you know. I'm gonna miss someone. But yeah, I kind of came full circle on that. I think everyone has to go through this weird contention and like, man, if I just put like Space Marine with a question mark as the title of my video, I'll probably do better than anything I've ever made. But also just like just make this popular. It's still such a small thing. Just I don't know, get into whatever you're into. And like I meandering. I've recorded my voice like three times already today. So I was on I do a podcast with my friend that's not about miniatures at all.
Yeah,
It's
this
called This
review and
Review.
review, it's the greatest. I love
Yeah,
it.
dude. It's funny, but yeah, it's a funny point in the day for me. Long meandering point short. Yeah, I'm glad it got a positive effect on that. And I think that also though it does speak to your own like I liked you
Aw.
when I like saw your stuff when we talked and everything. So you're a good person, you're a good guy. So easy to get along with and easy to encourage. I can be very nice, and I can be equally mean to people that cross me. So I like
Hey.
to hold up the people that are good
Well, thank
and
you. I appreciate
do
that.
good things.
One of the things that happened because you believed in me and because you did this thing, and I subbed to your Twitch because like I was like, this is where he's making his money, you know. Once I started ma like managing to be able to make money on Twitch, and I realized what a racket it was and how like horribly balanced it is for the creator, and the fact that you never were able to make partner, which I like made me even more mad. Like, it was like all these things started happening. I had this like
Why don't they
real,
like me?
yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right? I had this like huge crisis of faith about that platform. And that's when right around the time that your like Patreon like really took off, and I was like, I'm backing the Patreon and I'm not backing Twitch because I can't feel good about, you know, Twitch taking half of his money. Like, and then it made me realize that Twitch is the advertisement to literally everything else that you're doing. If you're making t-shirts, it's your advertisement to that. If you're, you know, doing your Patreon, your YouTube, it is a thing for people to interact with you and to be entertained. And it is not so much about people sitting down and watching you to learn to paint. because I actually think that it sucks at that. It's we've realized that Twitch has always just been a just chatting stream. It's always just been a just chatting stream. No matter how much painting you do or how much you actually help people, at the end of the day, it's just chatting. And it, yeah, it broke my brain. I was like, this platform.
I know. Twitch is a really strange territory because you want to elevate the community, but you also are competing at a certain level if someone is on at the same time slot as you.
Right.
And you go and raid somebody who is now live, that means that they were live while you were live. So if their show is cooler than yours, people are going to, so the person that Sam raided is on, and they're way funnier. You know, so it's weird, but you also you're kind of a jerk if you're not contributing to the circle.
Right.
There's just like a positive way to look at that and the pessimistic way to look at it. I, you know, can't help but see the different angles.
Yeah.
I miss it. When my lease is up, I'll be moving.
Yeah.
Saving up to buy a house. So I think that'll happen this summer.
Dude, congrats.
Thank you, Patreon.
Yeah. That's so exciting.
And hey, going out and doing nothing, it makes it really easy to save money when there are no concerts or restaurants to be at. So it's been like, I guess maybe I'll buy some more miniatures. Like, even, you know, that kind of caps off after a while.
Well, and especially since they aren't releasing anything for your army right now. So, like, what are you going to spend your money on? Like, another thing that you can't do with your friends for a while? Like, although you have had, like, some serious luck being able to do TendyCon and VinciCon. Like, you've done, like, two of, like, the most, like totally envious that you guys got to do that and have such a cool time. And, like, it just, like, it makes me so, I want the world back. Sam, I want the world back.
Oh, I'm, someday I'm going to have, like, I'm just going to invite everybody from my Patreon to, like, a gigantic barbecue. Just be like, hey, come and hang out. Yeah, it was really cool. I don't know how people would take that, us having our little meetings, but we're all you know, doing the same thing where I can live a very isolated quarantine lifestyle, and we all do. And then at VinceCon, Vince and Kathy and I think John are all vaccinated, so I felt like extra safe.
That's so awesome.
But yeah, it's not like so awesome. Go anywhere.
Like, all of my clients.
It was a lot of fun. I want to encourage people to get together, but not really.
Yeah.
you need a little like quarantine pack, you know, you need like a little group of people who are on the same level as you to get through it. Like, I have just a few friends that two people I hang out with, my brother, my friend Trevor, who I do my podcast with.
Mm-hmm.
And then, spend time with Milady as well.
Sure.
But very, very small circle. But then I have to also expect that Trevor is seeing someone and has a roommate as well. So we keep our,
We had a couple close calls last year, and I realized that no matter how close I thought my bubble was, they are not taking it near as seriously as I am. And that's when I realized that, like, I can't do this. I have to wear masks in front of all my friends now. Like there's no sliding on it anymore. As like, you know, they you know, I'm not hanging out with anybody, but I did go on a date with a girl last week, and then we went to a restaurant and we ate in front of each other, and now I've got the sniffles, and you're just like, You just said that you weren't hanging out, and now there you are, and here it is, and it happened a couple times, and so we locked down pretty hard, and I'm ready to get back to some sense of normality. I just really am.
Yeah, I feel you, man. Just keep prepping.
Yeah.
Recently, speaking of games that you can't play with anybody. I bought the Warcry starter set, not Catacombs,
the original,
yeah, the first one.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to help a friend move his game store. You got to break the bubble at some point because your friends need you.
Yeah.
But I saw like two Warcry starters and I'm fine. Brooke just had a test over the weekend, negative. Nice. So it's pretty much like I passed the COVID test. but I got my hands on a Warcry starter. And with a larger gaming world, or in my area, it's hard to get something to take off. If you want it to take off, you have to be the nucleus of that operation.
Of course.
I want people to play Infinity. I've got to know every stat and every rule and be running, getting everything together and trying to convince people to spend hundreds of dollars at the same time. Right. Like, hey, you want to play AOS with me? All you got to do is sell that car. so I got the Warcry starter. And my plan is like, all right, I am painting this entire starter set. And then I can run demos and I can keep this contained. It's only like 20 models to paint up and some really cool scenery that I'll just beat upon it with my weathering powders.
Right.
And like, I can be the center of that operation. I can set up a fully painted game. I can be like, hey, Brooke, hey, brother John, hey, Trevor. And then get my people that don't game kind of hooked into it with a really cool experience. And it's also, the level of complexity is a lot lower.
Yeah.
It's like Zombicide level and everyone has played that.
Now, Warcry did really well with my friend circle before everything fell apart. And I was very excited to play more of that. And, I didn't buy Catacombs cause it just seemed really expensive for like a dungeon crawl experience that I think there's probably better ways to do it. And like Warhammer, the Cursed City, Warhammer Quest, the Cursed City, I think it's going to be a better way than, Catacombs. And so, I think the models are cooler. So that is definitely on my list.
Yeah. I was really happy that I didn't buy Catacombs or the most recent Zombicide Kickstarter that landed.
Yeah.
Not the Wild West one, but whatever the last one was that they did. It's like, all right, I've had enough. And then all these awesome, we've got a lot of cool options on the horizon. Yeah. I'm stoked on Cursed City because I know they're going to give that like the Blackstone Fortress treatment. And we'll have all these expansions. It might be something fun to keep up with. And yeah, you can play continuously with some quarantine pals.
Yeah. I wish I would have kept up with the expansions of Blackstone Fortress, but I didn't. Like I bought the regular game, I built it all and primed it and played a couple games with it, and then all my friends were like, "I want to do something different." I'm like, "Okay." And so it's been in a box. I haven't touched it in forever. I'm a little nervous. I used actual metal sheeting to make like the diamond plate stuff. I'm a little nervous that it's rusted under there. And so it's in that Schrodinger's cat box of like, if I don't look at it, I don't know. So it might be rusty. It might not be. Who knows?
Yeah, quantum realities, it could be getting less rusty.
Right?
Who's to say? It could be polishing itself. What the bleep do we know, right? That weird documentary.
Holy shit. So I hadn't thought of What the Bleep Do We Know in years until my wife started watching that like Nexium documentary. And I didn't realize that the dude who did that got wrapped up in that Keith Raniere sex cult. And like, so he went from
that's why I heard of that.
Yeah. Dude.
It came up on a podcast recently. Yeah.
It was fascinating because he was like such a good, like, What the Bleep Do We Know? If you were a young stoner or drug addict, that movie like totally justified your like wasted years of being high on drugs. You're like, I fucking told you there was other realities.
Yeah, I knew it. I'm just the bum version of myself. There are others that do karate and metalwork and nuclear science.
Damn right.
I don't know why I'm talking like this.
It was like the perfect video for me at the time. I watched it in the theater several times, and like every time I watched it, I was like more justified of like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go watch this like on shrooms. Fuck yeah, we're doing this. It was not a, like
tripping at a theater, man.
You know, it was Oregon. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, I don't have that fearlessness with like tripping in public. And it's been a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I was 19 or 20. I was
I
was invincible.
Case, yeah. I went to like Funset Boulevard on acid when I was like 17. I didn't like it though.
It's too much.
It was not. My friend was way more fucked up than me, and all I saw was everyone else like seeing him, and I was like, "Oh God, oh God."
They know.
I remember walking past the foosball table, and there were like these gangster dudes playing foosball, and my friend with like a Marilyn Manson shirt like walked past, and they ran to the foosball poker or whatever like at him in our general direction. He didn't notice. He's like, you know, ready to go climb on a jungle gym with like a bunch of small children, which also happened. And
yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'm just like, man, I want to get out of here.
Yeah, the problem with acid is it goes on for so long. You are just there for forever, and you're like, oh, I'm never.
Yeah,
I've broke the world, and this is the way it is the rest of my life.
You need to go to sleep before you're fully back to normal, and it takes, yeah, you're in for like a 12-hour trip.
Yeah.
I don't have the time,
dude,
for that. I don't know. Cheers to the people who have that kind of heroic level, but like, it just sounds like hell to me now. What I used to like is now I don't like.
Yeah, dude, same. I used to work with a guy, and him and I always used to, you know, he sold weed, and that was like his side gig to get him through the minimum wage pay at Guitar Center. And him and I always would joke that we graduated hallucinogens. You know, like we don't need to go back. We already graduated that class. And
right,
because there were so many people like, dude, we're gonna go do this. It's like, what? And you're gonna like cuddle while you do it too? Like what? Like you guys are in your 30s. You shouldn't be doing this right now.
Right. Yeah, man. Should be caring about different things. But hey, live free, I guess.
Do it if you can do it and like not fuck up your like momentum. The problem is like my serotonin is so fragile these days. Like I unfortunately, like I mean, we talked about this, like I can't drink anymore. You know, like I've just like worked really hard at making this engine keep all the things that make me happy. And I, you know, I had a drink just like out of the blue last summer. I was like, we're going to do this. I had a couple margaritas and it like fucked me up for a week. Really? I was like just, and they were so good and it was such a good time. But like the next day I was so blue and depressed. I was like, my fucking brain does not like this anymore. Like it just can't do this.
I get more anxious over a wasted day as well. What really gets me off is getting things done these
Hell
days.
Yeah.
To look at every day like a, you know, with a sense of accomplishment and a building block, building towards a larger whole and seeking some kind of purpose through it all.
Sure.
But yeah, if a day goes by where I didn't like move the meter forward in some category I care about, then it's a wasted day.
Sure.
And it's a wasted night staying up, doing cocaine and watching music videos anyways. Watching music videos for like 12 hours.
Dude, like the fact that...
But it never stops until you like run out of cocaine.
Yeah. And you're like, well, what the fuck? So what is...
Every once in a while, I'll break and just go into this like nether realm of like partying for like one night or something, and
sure,
yeah, get back to that old world, and I'm just like, come out of it the next day like, what the fuck? how sad.
I mean, like,
I just want to paint.
I think that's really fine though. Like I to not do it is, you know, I don't believe like in like restricting yourself from doing something if it's what you want to do and you can do it responsibly, and if you're not hurting yourself, you're not, you know, if bills can still be paid, if you can still wake up and be happy with who you are in your skin the next day, then fuck it. Like, just do it. Like, there's no wrong way to live this life. And if that means that you got to fucking push that boundary, do it. But it's like, if it's taking a toll on you, I have to, like, at that point be like, maybe don't do that, though.
See, that's the other part of it, is the trade, the toll that it takes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kudos, man. Some people just live on potatoes. You know, if that's your jam and it fits for you, for your type, you know, we're all kind of wired a little differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
So you said that, for you, a day not spent pushing the needle is a day wasted. What?
that's a fun phrase to say after this last conversation.
Right. So what? Pushing the needle. Jesus Christ.
Oh shit.
Oh no.
Too far.
What do your days look like now? Like, you got the Patreon. You got a Discord. You got the YouTube. What is all this doing? And what is it moving towards?
Oh, man. So there are different categories of life. There are different meters. Being healthy mentally, being healthy physically, enriching your relationship with your tribe, sure. Maybe we'll say it that way, your career. Like, you know, miniature painting, having a Patreon rolling and having these different like avenues and channels created. It's awesome because it's all artwork. This is what I wanted. I've hit all of my goals and I need to create new ones, which is why I was thinking about an art book and a miniature. So to me, all this just represents is the success of being able to survive on my strongest talent. That's what I was after. And yeah, especially now that the Patreon is healthy and strong, I'm finally, for, it's not even a year old. So it's not like this shit just happened.
Right.
You know, I've been doing this for like 10 years now, 12.
Right.
But you know, there are times when I went without and sacrificed and, you know, lived in kind of squatty conditions and stuff. And just kept at it because doors kept opening and I didn't know what direction they would come from, but I could see a path. So yeah, what that, the ability to like put, have the security of having a very simple, basic dreams, you know, security of having a roof over my head and the freedom to travel, you know, you have to be able to afford that luxury.
Sure.
And that's what I was chasing on a more like kind of philosophical level. The way, like, why I started making videos with Tabletop Minions was just to put out free content for people that couldn't afford content or whatever. It was my way of, it's the most positive way that I can relate to the world. It's the, like the best thing that I could put out, you know, into, if that's important. I don't even know if that matters to me all the time because I'm pretty solitary individual, but through some way just trying to relate to the world in a positive fashion.
Sure.
That's why I got into that. It's not like Adam was like, hey, I'll give you $100 if you record a YouTube video for my channel. Well, it's not like a TV channel. It's a online channel. But it's called Tabletop Minions. Hey, I pride myself on my impressions.
It's a good one.
We were just two buddies just doing it because it's cool. And that's why he started doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
So that's what all those things mean to me. I don't get I'm not like, oh wow, I'm special now. I'm someone important. I don't have like a big ego. And I have worked so much at my life at like maintaining that because I see what, you know, shitty egos do. Yeah. And it was always just such a turnoff to me, just overblown people that are full of themselves. I'd rather see, I'm more interested in the output and not in like the talk about why someone is great or what. I don't know. I just fuck big egos. It's stupid. Yeah. So I don't get any of that sense. And I feel like that's what a lot of people look at somebody in my position and may envy or want. I've had people write to me, you know, and say those things like, how can I do that? But it's like, all this happened because I just loved what I was doing.
Yeah.
I didn't see YouTube and decide I wanted to be a miniature painter. You know, it was like, oh, I should be a miniature painting YouTuber. What's miniature painting? Like, I need to learn this now. Like, you know, it was the other way around. And I try to remind people, and we're talking about our own like struggles with growth in our channels and stuff. Like, you actually are reaching a lot of people. It's just in comparison, you feel like you're not.
Sure.
And don't forget why you started. I began painting before the internet existed. I was just a kid sitting cross-legged on my floor in a dim room painting orcs. That was cool. And I showed them to my friend Sonny, who I played Warhammer in the Sandbox with our own made-up rules. And I never knew that I was going to be in White Dwarf or entering a Golden Demon contest or any of that. And I loved it just as much then.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes when I find myself kind of, you get away from yourself at times, and just to remind yourself why you started and what you really love about it. Weird answer to your question, but I'll just keep rolling. So an average day, I get up, make a balanced breakfast, protein rich, and then I pump the irons. I fight the forces of gravity. The apocalypse is unending. And then I usually have students scheduled, and I'm trying to fit recording time in. The way that I live my life right now is not sustainable after quarantine.
Yeah.
There's going to be too many fun things to do. But at this point, I feel like life is boiled down to a few necessary functions.
Sure.
Luckily, my job is art, so it involves a lot of like, you know, expression and experiments. It's not mundane. It's not the same thing every day. But yeah, my whole existence is like wrapped around painting and recording and teaching. And then I do that one little like just for laughs podcast with my friend and then spend time with Brooke on the weekends.
Yeah.
And that is like my entire life for a year. Oh, I got into skiing over the winter.
Nice.
That was fun. But
I think that's awesome that like you still have mental capacity to do other hobbies outside of, you know, the hobby, because like, you know, last month I tried doing an entire army in a month when I, you know,
work
a full-time job. I've got other things that I'm doing right now, and like I'm trying to do that. And I was like, fuck, this is an insane thing. And it's so hard to do this one thing. And, you know, I had a great time. I got a lot of stuff done. I put more paint on models than I'd done in forever. And it, you know, and that was like I still love doing this. I needed to like have that, like get back to the basics, you know, do some reps to paint and batch for a while to like really like understand why I love painting the things that I do. And that, like shit like that's so good. But you know, it seems like there's this weird guilt whenever you're doing something that isn't like pushing the dream. And you aren't taking the time to like make your soul, your spirit, your whatever you want to call that, like happy. And I realized that I had spent the entire time in quarantine going into like, you know, getting my business back open, pushing this like podcast, pushing the stream, pushing this. And I realized that like, that's not the only thing in my life. And I went so long neglecting everything else. Like I about fucking had like a breakdown over. I was like, I can't believe I've neglected every other part of my life.
Yeah, man. When there's like content creation and self-promotion it's a fire. You need to keep throwing fuel on it.
Yeah.
And yeah, every project I have is now put through this filter of like, can I make that into, you know, content for a tutorial? I shouldn't be wasting time. And like, yeah, I need a little bit of that, more of that, that free time. And I realized that, and I found that this last week, and I was painting some models for Creature Caster, and they needed them done relatively fast. So I think I recorded like one tutorial on painting skin, and it's like 12 models. They're doing a Kickstarter in the springtime, which
doing the judgment stuff. I don't know
what that's about, but it was nice to sit and paint and not have to worry about holding my hands under a camera and being in frame and
yeah,
narrating what I'm doing while I'm doing it. Yeah, man, you'll get pulled away, but you need to like recollect yourself every once in a while. I liked that month of like hard working that you were doing though. I think it's cool. Like you'll see Brent do that where he'll have 24-hour challenges, Goobertown Hobbies.
Right.
If some of you haven't heard of that, and you're seeing this. but I like that. I admire that like time of focus. Like I want to get an army painted. It's taken me 5 years, or I could just like put a belt on and get this done in a week.
Right.
Cancel everything else. And then maybe next week I'll just eat the entire time because I'm skipping meals this week. Whatever you're skipping out. Like I'd rather work, you know, two 12-hour shifts instead of 4 3-hour shifts. Like right. Or 6-hour shifts, fucking math. you know, I'd rather just get it all done in a concentrated time. And yeah, a lot of the time when I work on a project, I kind of get everything else out of the way and, you know, summon all the elements and shut down all the noise and just put a hard concentrated amount of time in.
Yeah.
I think it's about spending your time most effectively. So seeing you just like plowing away and what is it like 200 models in 1 month was, I forget how you were titling that.
Yeah. It was actually 100. I'm a fucking liar. I just need everybody to know I'm a liar and I'm unashamedly a liar. Like I will go with the clickbaity title because I know that 197 models in 28 days doesn't sound near as cool as 200. So like you're getting 200. Yeah. I'm sorry. And I didn't finish the thing either. Like I got to a point where like I probably got like another 20 hours left. But I can do that now at a rate that isn't going to kill me. Like I don't know about, and maybe I need to work out. Maybe I need to do like get the high protein morning pump on the way you do it. But like I started getting like a repetitive stress like injury of trying to like
yeah.
do stuff the same way over and over again as I'm gluing, you know, these tufts of like grass and shit on these models. Like I started developing like this horrible like neck crick, and you know, we're 10 days into the next month and I still have it. It's still there and it pisses me off so bad.
Yeah, man. I was having this conversation with like, I think Matt DiPietro was telling me about a back pain he has. He's like, do you ever get that? And I used to, but once I started working out, I don't get any of that pain.
Sure.
If I paint for 10 hours, my hand hurts. my neck will hurt from, I'm always like looking around my brush like this. Right. I got like a weird like lump in my neck. So yeah. That's cool. But yeah, if you do something for like hours on end, you're going to get like fatigue in some strange way, like using a tweezer like that or something. But
right,
yeah, generally like exercising, being strong makes life easy. It's fucking cool. I can like throw couches. I literally like threw a couch when I was moving into this place and I was angry because it wouldn't fit in the door and I just like threw it into the yard.
At this point,
like holy shit, I threw that couch pretty far.
I would be remiss if I at this point I didn't say one of my favorite people in the whole world's motto, Sam Lin's built my hot rod. Because it's about being as strong as Sam Lin's is that you can build a hot rod.
Oh god, yeah, I'm talk a big game, but at least do something every day to be physical. I've worked myself up from puny shrimp to regular amount of strength, and my mind has gone mad with power. But I have a lot of fun with it, man, and it brought a level of discipline into my life that was missing. That's something you might get from like martial arts or something. And again, that like, it's a very honest activity. You get what you out of it, what you put into it.
Sure.
Just like painting. I love to make the painting comparison, and to quote Roman Lepot, painting is a muscle. And that's why I'm always saying, you know, get your reps in. You need to develop a bit. But sticking with that and having done it for years now, you can see the difference, even if you don't see it on a daily basis. I'll see like a old picture of myself. Like, holy shit, I look completely different. And yeah, it tires me out too. I'm pretty, I have a lot of energy. So I need to burn it off every day.
Well, I think that like us right brain creative, you know, people, we are maybe ADD, you know, maybe undiagnosed ADD. But I realize that like I probably need to be doing a lot more to burn off some of that energy, because it just turns into existential dread like pretty fast. Yep. At the end of the day. And like that's not good either, you know. And like being self-employed, I've been self-employed now for 11 years, and I'm finally at the point where I don't need to work as hard every single day to keep the business going. And that's like a horrible place to be in mentally, because like suddenly this thing doesn't need me the same way that I need it. And man,
I understand that you're used to running at a certain level too. So it kind of spills over.
Yeah. And you know,
the goal is always to work smarter, not harder with our endeavors.
Yeah.
I think. And yeah, once you achieve that, it's like a different area, and it's something you haven't experienced before, so it feels uncomfortable and strange and different.
For sure. So
but yeah, dude, I definitely like ADD to the maximum potential. I can barely even keep track of this conversation, as viewers probably notice, but whatever, I'm just spitting that funk. The only thing that I can maintain attention and attention span for is miniature painting.
Sure.
Like, and I think it's because it is this series of steps that you don't repeat. Prep the model, you know, trim the model, build the base, prime. Those are all steps that are done. It's just this series of smaller steps leading to a greater whole once again. And I can handle those, like, and it's very encouraging to see it develop.
Sure.
As well. But yeah, I cannot like sit still for a movie or a show. If I'm sitting there with a show on, I'm like trimming models in the living room. You know, I'm always doing like two things at once.
Yeah, for sure.
Should probably get on Adderall or something, but who knows?
it might make it worse. Who knows? Like, yeah. I've done Adderall.
The suits and washed.
it didn't make me less speedy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I haven't done Adderall before.
Right.
But been a long time.
So your dream of having a book as being something that you want to do, you have sold a shitload of your work. Like, what do you do about that? Like, are you still in contact with the people that you sold these to? Do you think you could get them to send it back to get really good high def photos for a book? Or do you have good enough photos that would actually work for a tabletop?
Right. I do have, I have high quality photos these days. I have a new camera, but there are a lot of like older pieces that are, I'd have to like get them mailed back to me or something. But yeah, I sold a lot of my work, and I just keep painting more models. And yeah, I have like high definition photos of everything. I shrink them down and edit them a little bit for after I post them online, but I still have the originals of everything on a external hard drive, and my cabinet is like jam-packed. I'm hoping to sell more models to make more space, because I just keep filling and adding to it, And yeah, I ordered some pieces, kind of a miniature spending binge. I ordered a lot of like busts and like, you know, really kind of high profile, like artistic sculpts and stuff, to thinking about that book. And we don't always try our hardest on every single piece, but I got some try hard projects to work on. And I have a lot of dioramas going at the moment, and yeah, a lot of material I'm currently working on that I'm angling towards that book and kind of filling out. Like, I want to have a section on busts, a section on dioramas, 35 millimeter scale, maybe a sci-fi fantasy category.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could just take everything out of my cabinet right now and probably fill a book with it. So
probably. I mean, like, I've seen some of the things that you've done, while not in person, but like, you had your, like, you know, Papa Nurgle piece that was like the size of a fucking table, it looked like. Like, you could probably take 30 photos out of that and like tell a story with everything that you put into that piece, and, you know, fill up half of a book just by like,
right,
technique and style alone. You could take that one piece and, you know, take people on a journey for a tabletop book easily. And, you know, you have like all of your little, you probably do a whole section just on your backgrounds. Like, that, there's the things that you do that I find super inspiring that I've never actually tried. I'm not a good painter, in the sense of, if I, like, for me, painting models is more like tracing. Like, I'm fucking, it's not paint by numbers, but I'm painting within the lines, yeah, because I have this thing. So the second you put flat and I have to do dimension and all that, I'm lost on that. So when I see how you incorporate that, and you incorporate your colors from the background to enhance the foreground, like, it's just really smart. And it's very cool to see. Like, I think you could do tons of stuff on that. And every time I see a new piece that you release like that, I'm just like, fucking Sam, man, this is amazing.
And I'm just doing what I love to do. I'm always trying to trick people into, like, people like, I don't know, I'm thinking about picking this up and thinking about painting that. I'm like, yes, do it. Just follow the muse. Whatever inspiration is telling you, go out and do that. And, you know, all the philosophy that I'm always preaching is just a trick to get people to do what they like the most, where they're most happy, because you produce your best work that way.
Yeah.
It's all a little trick. You heard it here first. But like, how do I get better? And it's always like, well, just follow the muse. And that's, yeah, how you find what you're most inspired by. And then your best work will come from that.
And I think it's so simple. Like, you think that it would be harder to get better and have more fun at a hobby. But no, it's just like, what do you like? Do you like robots? Paint a big robot. Build a big robot. Do something.
I like robots.
I mean, like, I got into all these Gundams as like a you know, just like a breath of fresh air from painting minis and doing like busts and like things that I'm dumping 60, 70 hours into. I'm like, why am I doing only that? Like, there's got to be some more fun in there. And so what turned it into like the breath of fresh air made me realize that, like, one, like, it feels like Games Workshop is ripping me off when I see like how well engineered some of these Bandai kits are. I'm like, oh, Games Workshop's got to up their model game. But then I'm like, I'm having this thing where like, I don't have to paint it. But then, you know, there's like, there's this guy on Instagram that, if you don't follow him, you know, and the audience, if you don't follow him, his name's Sig Gnarly. He was inspired by Ash Baker's Gamma Wolves. And so he's been taking like 30 minute mission kits, these guys, you know, and he has been like grim darking the fuck out of them. And it's amazing watching what he's doing. And like, I messaged him as soon as I saw that that's what he was doing. I was like, dude, this is so fucking inspiring. It is so cool seeing someone taking something that no one's doing right now and just like breaking the mold and creating, you know, using, it's going to be for a game, like, and you know, Gundam stuff doesn't have a rule set for it, and now because, you know, Ash from Guerrilla Miniatures Games made a rule set for him, he's just like, let's get our hands dirty. It's so cool. So Signarly, if you haven't followed him, follow him, he's awesome.
I think I do. Yeah, I think we've talked before that. I know that name. Maybe it was from Twitch. Good on him if he's carrying the same name across multiple platforms.
He is, yes.
But yeah, dude, the Gundam kits. Yeah, like Bandai, I think they're like the top model seller in the world, and yes, they don't have a game.
Yeah.
You know, we always look at it as, oh man, the way to, got to have a rule set to move these models. That's, you always attach miniatures to like a rule set. That's kind of the wargaming mentality. And then you look at that arena and you're like, so yeah, good on Ash, man. That's super cool.
Yeah. Dude, and that game, like, I'm so inspired by it. I've done some cool things. I copper leafed a model, and then I used Liver of Sulfur to antique the copper leaf. You know, it's all these like weird, stupid ass picture frame shit that like I use at work, and now I'm using it on models. Man,
that's awesome though.
Yeah.
Dude, I love that kind of formulaic stuff. Yeah.
It's so cool. And I'm like, this, like, it doesn't really have a place in Warhammer. It doesn't mean that you can't do it, but it's like so much work to do. Like, you wouldn't want to do an entire Space Marine army like that. So like when you can have like four pieces that you're doing, it's totally worth the break and the effort. And and Liver of Sulfur smells like farts, so it turned my entire studio into just a fart machine. It's like way more than it already is. It's a fart machine anyway.
Yeah,
it was bad. But it was
already a bit of a fart machine.
It is. But I just had that moment of like, this hobby is so much more fun than, you know, working for, you know, 100 hours to get an army ready just to like have like an hour of mediocre time. This hobby is is amazing, and it's so varied. And the fact that like I feel that most people aren't experiencing it to its fullest because they feel like they need to have an army for a game kind of like hurts me. And so like when I see you do your model and you're like, I'm going to do this one, and it's amazing. Then you're like, I'm going to do this group of models. And you know, like you are like a hobby holistic. And, I wish more people like looked at this time as that way, because I think they'd be much happier with it. I think there would be less grumpy old men in it and more just like genuinely happy people.
Yes, listen to those. We need to give those grumpy old men an attitude adjustment. Yeah. You don't need to actually paint an entire chapter of Space Marines. You don't have to have 1,000 blue guys. But it was fucking cool if you do.
Yeah, for sure. I get it. It is cool.
Can get really honest. It is really cool, but it hurts. I've done that. I've painted, you know, armies on commission, and it's just so boring, but yeah, that feeling of starting a brand new model and doing every piece being an experiment and doing something a little different. That's like skirmish is where it's at. That's where the future is going. Like, we've got Warcry, you're talking about Gamma Wolves, like Uncle Adam's always repping the skirmish games.
Yeah.
Because it's just a lower investment of in every category, which makes it so much easier. Like I was at Vince's place. Played a game of Age of Sigmar. I lost to Scott. It was a good game.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is so close. I want a rematch. And then I just got stomped. And I was just like, what the fuck am I doing with my... I spent like hundreds of dollars on this. I painted this for 3 years. I drove 10 hours. I rode. John drove. But I traveled. I traveled 10 hours. And you know, all this investment of learning, of taking a college course on the numbers, the stats.
Math Hammer 101.
Gotta make sure the words, all the little keywords and the holy within and whatever, like all this fucking detail to just get like stomped.
Yeah.
You invest so much of everything, of your lifetime into painting storm casts and you just get run over by some YouTube star. But yeah, it's like, man, you got a lot on the line.
Yeah.
First game is great though, because it was a lot of good back and forth, and I was happy with the loss. But yeah, I just got walked over the second time.
I believe that this was the quote that came out of your mouth before the first game was played. Just remember that your loss is someone else's win, which is really mature, because like, it is hard. It is a hard thing to remember that someone else just had a fucking great time, even though that like the last hour and a half were probably fucking miserable for you.
Yeah. Like I got beat up, but the other guy probably had a lot of fun punching me. He had to do his finisher on me. He got to do the tombstone. That'd be pretty fun for him. Yeah, that's why I said, before the first game, that I didn't. It was harder to remember after the second game. I was drunk. It's 3 a.m. I forgot shit for different reasons the first time, but also the second time.
Yeah, for sure.
There's never a perfect game, though. So sportsmanship on both sides of the table is fantastic. Scott's always like, you can do that. You can go back and like, no, dude, but I forgot about a little weapon. Maybe if I forgot to shoot my one gun, I'll go back and do that. But like, it's extremely forgiving. But I play like a little harder style because you don't remember.
Right.
If it's just this, oh, oops, I forgot kind of thing the whole time. So I'm always trying to take it really seriously. I don't intend to be a tournament player, but I'm using that as a guiding light to like, you want to kind of keep an eye on the meta and know what's happening and stuff. Like I watch Warhammer Weekly every week, and they talk about the density and the fine details. I'm always gaming for that, because I think that's the game at its highest, how it's meant to be played.
Sure. Well, I mean, the sauce said it best.
It's cleanest level.
If you aren't coming to win, then it's just not fun. Like you have to come to win, and like maybe not like the full win at all costs. I'm going to cheat the whole time, but like you have to have the mentality that I'm leaving it all out there on the table. Otherwise, like what the fuck are we doing? Like, there are smaller games that you could have more fun doing. And so it's like, you have to have that mentality. Otherwise you're just like, what are we doing here?
The people that showed up to lose didn't sign up for the tournament. They're doing other things because they don't care. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody goes in and intending to purposely lose.
Right.
I'm sure there's one Captain Insano out there who's going to well, actually, but yeah.
You know, I love getting participation points though. Like I got a cool painted army and in some games that actually is a huge part of the like, when the Long War did their like hobby doubles thing, like your themed army was more points than if you won the game. Like you coming and having a good time and having a themed army was the bigger part of it. And actually, I really respect the fuck out of them for doing that. I think that is like, no, we're here to have fun. Let's have fun. And and I think we forget about that so often, unfortunately.
I want a clean game, but I'm really just trying to forge this cinematic moment. Fully painted army, fully painted table. Just want to like finally have that White Dwarf experience. I was always looking at White Dwarf when I was young with fully painted everything, and that is so hard to do as an individual. Yeah, cheers to the Long War, and cheers to them for putting an emphasis on theme and narrative. It's really cool. And you can still play a good game and win that way. Doing things for a reason.
And I also like, because I am the king of like, I'm the hobby hedonist, dude. Play with a gray army. Like just as long as you're having a good time and you're being a good sport about it. Like, I don't even care. I'm at that point where I would rather have a really good time with people who are like genuine fun people to be around. And I would play with fucking straight up 100% proxy tokens. Like, I don't care. I want to have a good time with people who want to have a good time. And I've realized that the further away I am from the further this extrovert doesn't get to hang out with friends, an extrovert, the less I give a shit about posturing. Like, I want to experience good times with people who are having good times.
That's right. You are extroverted. You've said that like a number of times.
It's bad.
I'm friendly, but not social.
It's bad.
I get along with people, but I'm not like, yeah, I like living out at a farm completely alone. Fucking rules.
But I do like my wicker hat.
People. I get it, man.
Well, Sam,
takes all types to run this little gaming scene.
It really does. I'm stoked that you've made these pivots. I'm stoked to be able to, be the fly on the wall and be a part of this. Because, yeah, I mean, like you were one of the first things, your videos with Tabletop Minions, and just like I learned so much from you. To be able to be a part of that and to see you navigate this world in a way, like, it's so unfair. All of these content creators, you know, and like cons were going to be your things and you shifted, and then Twitch couldn't be your thing anymore. And then you doubled down on the Patreon and the YouTube and like lessons. The fact that you are flexible, if anybody doesn't look at you and isn't just inspired to do their best, they aren't paying attention to the right things. It's not the fact that you also paint like a motherfucker. It's the fact that your work ethic and your dedication to your dream is like one of the most purest expressions of, personal freedoms that I've ever seen. You have taken this life and you're fucking doing it on your own, on your art. And it's like, I think that anybody seeing that should be just thrilled to be a part of you and helping your dream succeed.
Huh, wow, man. Thank you. I don't look in on myself like that. It's really cool to hear that perspective.
Well, I mean, you're in the forest, man. You can't see the trees.
Yeah.
You're in it.
Exactly. Every once in a while, I'll get a little like feeling of accomplishment, but yeah, I'm just wow. I thank you. That was really nice of you to say. I just feel like I have so much more to do. Yeah. that I want to just keep going, and there's just so many ways to paint and do all this. It never ends.
Never ends. And I think that that's why you are going to continuously be this guy who's always, always pushing a boundary, is always like, I think it's going to be great. I'm excited for you. I'm excited to see whether or not you go back to conventions in the way that you had planned on it last year. I'm excited to see everybody like look at their time differently. Because I've talked to several content creators that were like, I lost a huge sum of money last year, but I actually ended up not spending as much money. You know, like, that life is expensive. And you know, while it makes sense to, like, be everywhere, like, does it? Like, I think that there's something that is to be said about, like, being selective and, you know, making when you come out, make it be big. You know, like, I think that's one of the best parts about you is that it you are reclusive right now. And so every time you peek your head out, it's just like, ooh, the fucking groundhog's out. Like, what's going on? Like, is he going to see a shadow? Let's fucking find out. Like, there's like, yeah, this excitement about it. It's so cool.
Yeah, dude, I'm doing like having the Patreon, and I don't know if I would have started it or as soon as I did, if it weren't for COVID. But yeah, I don't have to fly coast to coast in the same month now. That whole like trying to be everywhere, I knew that was not like, that's what was, if that was to be the rest of my life, I would die. I was so fucking like ragged, but I wanted to work twice as hard to get twice as far.
Sure.
and try to enjoy a little bit of that, reap what I had sown a bit. But again, without that shock to the schedule, I'm going to post it up. I had a flyer of like the 8 different like locations I was going to. I was scheduled into like September, I think. And I had like Adepticon on there. I didn't have Nova Open on it yet. And then I had all these dates for like weekend classes set up. All that work, had people, had all this money from people they had prepaid. It's all sitting in my PayPal.
Uh-huh.
And then gradually I was just refunding all of it and taking a hit on it too. Sure. Like, because you lose a little percentage.
The fee, sure.
So every event that I canceled would cost me like 60 or 70 bucks.
Oh, rough. That's so rough.
And then I had one guy, I was on Twitch. I'm like, yeah, I got to cancel this one. He's like, just keep the money. Like, there were, yeah, the community really can provide. It's, I fucking love this community, how people will come together, and charities are always just a part of a random side tangent, but I sure. just love how much, like, how many good hearts are involved in this is, like, really stunning at times. But I don't know what the fuck I was just saying. Pandemic made shit all crazy. I had to cancel. Things looked differently. I'll post up that flyer still. It's just the thing that never was.
Yeah. Well, I
just, yeah, I won't be doing that though. I won't go and teach an event every month. I'll maybe do 3 or 4. And what I'd like to do is more of a kind of a getaway thing. Maybe I rent out an Airbnb in Colorado and we all go there for a weekend. I was looking into that and I know a guy out there who would cater it, but we've got to wait for some things.
Hell
some
yeah.
Vaccines to be distributed.
Yeah. Dude, I think that that's an awesome idea. And, you know, there's always things like, you know, like Wormwood Gaming was talking about doing a getaway thing. And, like, you know, there's all these things that are adjacent to the miniature space that are way fucking bigger than the miniature space. Like, I think the fact that, like, we're so monofocused on getting a fucking Grey Army painted so it can be on the table means that, like, we're missing the fact that there is, like, you know, millions and millions of D&D books happening, and there is people who want to have a beholder on the table, and there's a community there that is intimidated by the machismo of a space marine, and it's like, oh, we know we can there are these people, and with WizKids and Wizards of the Coast doing the sprued models for their D&D stuff, like, there's a whole new audience that is getting ready to build their first models. And that's a fucking drug. Like, that's like the best feeling.
Yeah.
You get that first model, like, they need to be welcomed with open arms into this hobby space. And so I'm like, I'm excited for Adepticon, but like, I'm excited to see what happens at like Gen Con and things like that. I want to see, you know, the D&D space blow up with miniature painters, and I want fucking Sam Lin's weapon racks on all their all their tables. Yeah. Learning how to do it right, man.
That's excellent. Yeah, it is still growing. We're still on this upward pattern.
Hell yeah.
With the hobby. And yeah, this space marine shorts, is legs are too muscular, macho. Can't stand this. Yeah, it's funny. I just, like, when I was going on my ordering binge, I ordered a lot of, I want to paint pretty things. I ordered some, like, female models and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm always telling people, just paint the opposite of whatever you're doing if you want to break out of your comfort zone and, like, discover some new territory. Some people like the Marines.
Did you see that? The bust of the African-American woman with the, like, afro? That just like came out, went on pre-order a couple weeks ago, and
if that's brand new, yeah, I have not seen that.
Oh, dude, I shouldn't have bought it. I'm like totally at a point where I shouldn't spend money right now, and I was like, I need more of this in the hobby space, and this is different than literally anything I have around here. Like, everything I have is fucking, like, hot demon babes, muscular monsters, you know, like, I'm like, I need something that is, like, it's, I was like, I need something the exact opposite, and I'm so excited to spend 40 hours figuring that out. I think it's going to be so much fun.
Fuck yeah. Dude. Yeah, that's a whole new adventure waiting, man. That's awesome.
And
yeah, lean into that. Try something different.
I'm always shocked at how, just when you think that this model, this hobby, this art form is getting stale, like, no, it isn't. There's so much more, and there's so many more things that are there aren't represented in the space. And when you have something like that, and you realize you've never seen anything like this, and it shouldn't be that weird. Like, oh my God, that's an easy one. That's a little, like, fucking low-hanging fruit. And, like, you realize that it's on this entire unpicked tree of fruit. You're like, I'm so down. I'm so excited.
Oh, yes. The many fruits.
The many fruits
await you, my friends.
Sam, we've been going for a long time. Is there anything you'd like to say to the peoples? Because, like... Yeah, we already know your big hairy audacious goals, and we're here for it. So you got any things that you're wanting to promote, or impart any words of wisdom?
I think we hit all of the switches. Yeah, I wish I had some awesome catchphrase to go out on, like Unchained or Cowabunga or Paint the World or something.
Hack the planet. Hack the planet.
Yeah. Doge to the moon.
Doge to the moon. Doge to the moon.
No, man. I think we covered all the territory. So if you're seeing this, come out and find me. Check out my content. I hope it helps motivate you on your own spiritual path.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah. Well, the truth is out there. Sam, thank you so much, my friend. I really appreciate it.
All right. Cheers.